रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः. अयोध्या कांड चैप्टर नंबर 11 द फेटल बूंस. द रेसिटेशन स्टार्ट्स नाउ. Kaikeyi bore in mind but too well the words of Mantara, bind your husband by dreadful oaths and then make him grant those two boons. She saw the old king was under the influence of lust and a slave to his passion. He was ready to do anything for her. Surely it is but child's play for him to grant her her wish, and he the supreme ruler of the broad earth and all it contains. I am in the best of health, she replied. No one has put upon me any affront. Your numerous gifts and rare I desire not. I have a certain purpose at heart which you with your irresistible might to make or mar alone could accomplish for me. If you are so minded, swear it so I would have you and speak to you the wish of my heart. And Dasharatha wondered much. Here am I to obey her least behest, yet she asks me to swear. It is a very trifle for me to give her what she wants. Well, I thank the gods that my apprehensions about her health and peace of mind are baseless. With a pleased smile, he raised her from the ground and laid her fair head on his lap, yearning to feast his eyes upon her loveliness. The madness of his lust rose to a delirium. He stopped not to consider what he said. His fingers aimlessly played with her silken tresses, and he said, "Fairest of all flesh on earth and justly proud of it, my soul's one delight, know you any among women that are nearer my heart? Who more welcome to my eyes than Rama, the best of men? Would you have me swear upon the peerless prince, invincible, noblest, best, the life of my life? What shall I do for you? I swear to accomplish your purpose and that on my Rama, whom if I not see for an hour, I die. I deem it a privilege and honor to be called upon to sacrifice my body, my life, Bharata, and the other sense of mine, my dearest kin, and what rest I have. But I cannot live away from Rama, and by him I swear to fulfill your wish. I would sooner seek the dark realms of death than fail to do your bidding. Ponder well, and you will see that my thoughts and words are in perfect unison. Speak out your wish and save me from grief and anxiety. I have said my say and leave you to act as seems best. You know the mighty spell of your beauty has cast on me. You know my power to make or mar, and think you it charitable to suspect my good faith? Once again, I swear by every good and holy act I have done till now that I will accomplish your purpose at any cost." Kaikeyi never forgot for a moment Mantara's counsel to anyhow secure the exile of Rama and the installation of Bharata. Her joy knew no bounds to see that her beloved son was sure to get the throne, for Dasharatha had sworn even as she would have him. He was in her toils. Her doting husband would not fail to see her wish realized at whatever cost, and he had sworn it upon his darling Rama. So she resolved to tell him of her cruel purpose. Even his bitterest foe would not have had the heart to wound him so. But she was but the god of death in disguise that came to bereave him of his life. Then a doubt cast a shadow over her heart, and she held herself back. "True, the old king has sworn it strongly, but my boon is no ordinary one. He may hear me out, and aghast at the utter cruelty and wickedness of my wish, may forswear himself and say, 'It is not in me to do as you will.' Then my heart's hopes will be shattered." She resolved to bind him more securely to his word and exclaimed, "Righteous king, you have sworn by Rama and by a good axe that you will grant me the boons I may ask of you. If you speak true, I call upon the eternal witnesses to man's thoughts, words, and deeds. Listen, ye gods, 33 crores in number. Listen, the sun, the moon, the aksha, the 9 planetary rulers, the night, the day, the quarters, the heavens, the earth, the gandharvas, the rakshasas, the creatures of the night, or the household lords and all living beings. Here King Dasharatha swears to grant my wish, and he is a speaker of truth, a warrior of immeasurable might, and adept in the mysteries of Dharma. Lend me your ears carefully and witness his promise. She cast her powerful spells over Dasharatha of undimmed valor. She bound him helpless in the toils of Dharma, and firmly convinced that blinded by lust and passion, he was ready to please her at any cost. She fixed the feeble-minded king with her eyes and said, "My lord, let me recall to your memory an incident of the far past. During the terrible battle at night with Shambhara the Asura, he wounded you sore and you fainted right away. Then I kept my head and perilled my life to drive you safe to a distant part of the field. I spent the long night by your side and brought you back to life and light. I hope you have not forgotten it. You were pleased to grant me two boons, but I kept them with you until some likely season. Lord of measureless expanse of the earth, soul of truth, I pray you grant me the two boons. But having once passed your righteous word to grant me the boons, if you now go back upon it, rest assured that I will not survive that indignity. I will even tear my heart by the roots." It needed not all these solemn asseverations and preliminary vows. Like the foolish deer of the forest that is charmed by the sweet music of the hunter and is hopelessly caught in the fatal net, Kaikeyi's words had already enslaved him quite. And in his eagerness to convince her of his boundless love, he cried, "Enough! Have you not my word that I grant your two boons, whatever they might be? And why hesitate?" Alas! He was little aware of the great misery that lay in store for him. He saw not the shadow of death creep upon him slowly but surely. Kaikeyi observed him keenly and was convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he was hopelessly intoxicated with her beauty and was wound up to the right pitch when he would do anything for her. She fixed him again with her eyes and said in cool and cruel tones, "I am about to ask you to grant me the two boons you promised of yore. Hear me with utmost attention. My son Bharata shall be crowned as the heir apparent to the throne with the very things prepared towards Rama's coronation. O mighty monarch, now is my time to ask you to grant me the second of my two boons I had of you on the night of the dreadful battle between the gods and the Asuras. Rama shall be banished to the dark forest of Dandaka for 27 years and shall live the life of a recluse with matted hair and clad in deerskin and the bark of trees. Look sharp! This very moment my Bharata shall begin his rule as heir apparent in undisturbed peace. This is the wish of my heart, and you have sworn inviolably to realize it. I but ask you to perform what you promised of old and nothing new. Do I press upon you any unreasonable claim? Nay, I but ask because you are sworn to it. True, it is not every creditor that receives a welcome reception at the hands of him who owes him money, but it is no blame of his. This very day I shall see Rama turn his back upon Ayodhya and take his way to the Dandaka. Kings of kings, keep your word and let me not call you a traitor to truth. Act so that you will save from eternal disgrace the line of the mighty Ikshvakus in which you were born, the bright traditions of your forefathers from the beginning of time, and last, not least, your duty as a king in whose crown shines the brightest jewel of truth. I have heard wise and holy men speak of truth as the surest road and the best to the bright mansions of the blessed hereafter. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.